Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
All right, the monster's cold. Welcome to the show. This is Raspberry Tea Rehab. It's my favorite one right now. We have cold coming in, and it's a good one. I think you're really going to enjoy it. We're going in deep. We got Bigfoot, aliens, UFOs, paranormal shit. I had a blast. It was really cool. It's our first full band episode with everybody in here, so it's going to be fun. That's coming up in just a second, but shout out to Monster. I got to say, I've been back on these rehab teas, and it's my favorite. Go to monsterenergy.com and give me a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at Monster Music and at Monster Energy. Also, cannot do this episode without Indie Merch Store. Love Indie Merch Store. I know I'm not wearing my Indie Merch. I'm wearing a Beard of Doom right now. Shout out to Kirk. I just finished a Josta song with Kirk, which we're going to put up on my bonus content page on Gas Digital. So just keep checking that. The song is hard. Wait till you hear it. But shout out to IndieMerchStore.com. We got Travis from Cattle Decapitation coming in. And right now, he's coming in next week. So I want to push out their pre-orders. The name of the album is Death Atlas. It's coming out in November, I think, on Metal Blade. And you can pre-order all the bundles right now at IndieMerchStore.com. Use the coupon code 15JASTA. And that helps this podcast and helps out a great company like Indie Merch. Now, if you want this shirt, I got to shout out my boy Chris Baudet. If you want this shirt, you can get it at martyrstore.net, martyrstore.net. And listen, if we are out of sizes of like the Welcome to Moshville and the Slay the Day shirts and some of the different colors of the Coffee Death Metal push-ups, don't worry, we're going to get those up on podcastmerch.com. So what will happen is, if I'm on the road like right now and we can't restock and I can't have a ton of people there shipping orders all day, we'll start putting the designs up at podcastmerch.com, especially the ones that we're not going to reprint. Because a lot of these times, like if it's my favorite rapper shirt, like Phil from Whitechapel, or like a Tommy Victor Riff Beast shirt, most of the sizes sell out pretty quick and then we only have a couple sizes left. So what we'll do is Podcast Merch will start replenishing those sizes. Also, today's episode is brought to you by The Reserve. I'm so happy to have The Reserve back on board because I use these products every day. The ashwagandha, the lion's mane, the turmeric. Turmeric. Is it turmeric, Brian, or turmeric? We need to figure that out.
I feel like it's one of those potato-potato situations.
Is it? Yeah, because Randy from Lamb of God, he's all about the turmeric. He's like, look, the Rastas are onto something with this. And same with John Joseph. He's all about the turmeric. He's like, bad brains, you know, are down for the turmeric. A lot of people are down for it. But I like the lion's mane. I definitely feel like it helps me fight stress. And it for sure helps me with my mental clarity. And if you notice, I'm down about 7 pounds. I don't know if you can tell. But I feel like having that smoothie in the morning or having my coffee in the morning with the lion's mane, I feel like it satiates my appetite for a little bit too. I feel like I can wait 3-4 hours before I got to eat. And as part of staying healthy on the road, I brought like just a ton of the Reserve's products with me in like a nice Tupperware bin. So I'm breaking out all the smoothies. I'm getting my road crew to try them. They're feeling the ashwagandha. They're feeling the lion's mane. Just gives me this like clear-headed focus, especially when I need to do ads like this. And I appreciate everybody, you know, watching or listening to the intro before the intro. So go to fromthereserve.com/Josta and check out some of their products and see what ancient superfood will help you live your best life. One more time, that's fromthereserve.com/Josta. And the promo code Josta30 is going to get you 30% off. So if you've been feeling a little foggy, if you've been feeling a little just cloudy, you know, as far as your mental state, try the lion's mane. Let me know what you think. fromthereserve.com/Josta. Use the promo code Josta30 for 30% off. We got cold coming in just a second. Now on to the show.
My friend, the lead singer of Hatebreed, the infamous and notorious Jamie Josta, is in the building.
That's what's up.
Jamie Josta from the metal band Hatebreed. That guy's famous.
Coffee, death metal, and push-ups.
That's Jamie Josta. Remember Jamie Josta? You know him. He's a podcaster, but he's also a metal fan.
I would say delete that.
That shit is hard.
Your host, Jamie Josta.
There it is. I don't even know what episode number this is. We have no prep for this show. It's a first for the Josta show. I don't think I've ever had more than two guests. So Cold is in the house. Scooter, Lindsay, Nick, and Sam. I got that right because I had my Alpha Brain in there, not a sponsor, but I gave Lindsay a packet.
Thank you.
Have you ever taken any nootropics of any kind, Scooter? Legal nootropics.
Yeah, I don't know about the legal ones. I read about it back in the day and thought about it. How's that working for you guys? Do you guys...
On the last episode, I couldn't remember Ricky Medlock from Blackfoot for the life of me, so I don't know how much it was working for the memory. But there was other details that I pulled out during the episode with Kenny. Shout out to Kenny Hickey from Typo. He was just here. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. If it really starts to work, hopefully they come on board as a sponsor. But, you know,
well, if you could take one and it starts making you remember things or collecting more data, well, it's got to be good, right?
I think really we haven't really tapped into, what do they say we use? Like 4% of our brain or something?
Right. Yeah.
There's all this uncharted territory. Yep. And I do wonder, what's wrong with, if it's a performance enhancement, everybody talks about performance enhancements as being like a bad thing, but what's so bad if it somehow we find an herb or some sort of mushroom or...
I'm down with that, dude.
Can you read minds?
Limitless pill in a package.
What am I thinking?
Yes. But I was just talking about this with Kenny. I was talking about mediums.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yeah, why is that so frowned upon? What if there's radio waves? We trust that the cell phone is going to work, like when we're FaceTiming each other.
I picked up an EVP at the Stafford Theater.
No way.
Real one, yeah.
Where, Stafford in Connecticut?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stafford Springs? We're shouting. Yeah. We're not even 5 minutes in the episode. We're already shouting out Connecticut. I like this. Stafford Springs, where the cops pulled me over like five times, tried to impound my car. Those motherfuckers. Yeah. There's a lot of fucking rats and fucking pig. No, I'm sorry. All right. So really, you believe in the paranormal?
Oh, yeah. And it's like clear as day. I ask a question and a female voice answers back.
And you have this on a recording.
He's got it right here if you want to hear it. Dude.
When did you guys play?
Turn it back on.
Like a week ago.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
It was creepy.
Stage manager was saying it's like super haunted and that there's like a woman's dress that you see on the top balcony. So I just went up there with a phone. First question I ask, we didn't hear the voice, but it was on the recording.
Oh, yeah. And then check this out. And then the crew and the band guys were coming on the bus going, hey, man, you got an EVP of this girl talking, right? This lady. And I was like, no shit. And so I go outside just to have a cigarette. And the owner, this well-to-do type lady, is sitting out in a chair outside the bus. And I started talking to her. I said, yeah, I think my drummer just got an EVP. She goes, oh, if he did, it's definitely a woman. And I was like, shit. It's kind of wild.
Shit. She
goes, yeah, there's a woman that haunts the place.
Here, check it out. It was pretty crazy. Pick it up if it picks up.
Can you put it up to the mic?
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait, is this like the tape that the Warrens had where, like, once you hear it, you're fucked, too,
yeah,
and they,
I don't know.
It gloms onto you and follows you? Because I have one.
Hopefully.
It could be.
Because I definitely had two experiences where this thing followed me, where I was, like, experiencing sleep paralysis, and it felt like this whole, like, black, like, sheet coming over me.
All right, so the nootropics are working on it. If you're able to use that other, maybe you're using more percentage of your brain than the four or two.
This was pre-nootropics, and I was driving the van both nights, so I was sober. Once we were staying in D.C. in this old house, this old haunted house, and another time we stayed at a Roach Motel outside of Newport News, Virginia. And the same thing happened where I thought it was a lamp. I saw the figure and then it literally just came over me and I was paralyzed and I was trying to scream, trying to move. And then finally it broke off. I ran out. I was banging on because we had a guy sleeping in the van because there wasn't enough room to sleep in the room. Everybody was piled on the two beds and on the floor. Yeah. And he's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I was like, something just fucking attacked me. But let's hear this. Let's hear this MVP. Sorry, I'm going off on my
rant. No, it's all good. So I ask, do you like what we're doing here? And you'll hear a female voice say, so far.
We're recording in the Stafford Theater. Do you like what we're doing here?
Now, I could hear that through the phone. Could you hear that on the mic? Dude, that's fucking...
Yeah, that's wild.
Weird. All right, so because I was there, I did the podcast with John Five from Rob Zombie's band and, you know, is an accomplished solo musician as well. And we were, I don't know why, but we got on the subject of titty fucking. Like, that was his big thing. Like, he loves to titty fuck because he don't get STDs and all this stuff. And so maybe the ghost tried to titty fuck, tried to let John titty fuck him. Like in Ghostbusters, what's that scene where on the, it's on the director's cut. Where the pants come down on Dan Aykroyd?
My friend, are you sure that was the same Ghostbusters?
Right, shit. It's on the director's cut. But I do believe that they can enter like venues or homes or whatever, and then I also believe that they could enter your mind's eye and use you as a vessel to fulfill their worldly desires.
Yeah, you never know,
right? Because you hear about those guys that like wake up, you killed your whole family. No, I didn't. It wasn't me.
Or that's just a great excuse for killing your whole family.
Well, we went right into the spacey, but nobody has had a paranormal experience besides you?
Yeah, no. I had one in Bearsville when we were doing the different kind of pain record, man. We were in the studio. Actually, we went to the studio to record. There was a barn up there. I think Liv Tyler owns the place now. But there was a barn up there where a lot of great bands that did the drums. And Elvis Basquiat had brought us up there. So it was this house and a barn outside where you record at. And it was a creepy place. We actually chose the place because the band Creed had went up there for like 3 days and they had left because they got spooked or something. So they took off. And we were like, of course we want to go there. Yeah, that's our place. So we go up there and... weird things were happening. I know some stuff happened with Sam.
My wife, Georgia, and our little two-year-old son, Wolfie, we were downstairs, and all you could hear is like footsteps above us.
Yeah.
And it's just a little house, and it's like footsteps.
So one night, they were all gone. I think they went to eat or something like that, and I'm sitting around the place by myself, and everybody was gone. And I'm sitting downstairs watching a show, and... it was kind of snowing, you know. The porch had snow on it and everything. So I hear this like kind of somebody coming up to the door. You know, if you're sitting in your living room and it's an old house, so it's whatever. But you can kind of hear somebody walk up to your door. So you're like, oh, shit, somebody's here, right? So I go to the back door. And it was kind of spooky. It was out in the woods up on top of the mountain. So I'm like, hey, who is it? And nobody says anything. And at that moment, I could literally feel somebody on the other side of the door. Like, you can tell. I was like, well, somebody's right there, and they're fucking with me. So I thought it was one of the crew guys that might have stayed later or whatever and just was messing around because the haunted thing. And so the door opened out, you know? So I was like, I'm gonna jam this door out and knock who the hell ever's out there in the ass. So I can hear it. You can almost hear, like, a breath. You know, I'm like, oh, holy shit, this is crazy. I was a little spooked. So I just opened the door up. Nobody's there. There's no footsteps in the snow. It freaked me out, man. And then they came home later and I told them about it. And there was another thing where every morning at like 5:30 in the morning, you'd hear this pop, 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 like a bang. And everybody's like, what the hell is that? And so Jeremy, our bass player at the time, like, got a bottle of schnapps and went up in the woods one morning. He stayed up late. And he comes running into my room later. I was sleeping. And he goes, dude, I know what it is. I was like, what? What was it? He goes, dude, it's the shutter banging against the house. I go, what are you talking about? It's snowing outside and there's no wind. What's doing the shutter? He was like, oh, yeah. He was too buzzed to acknowledge what he was seeing right there. I go, dude, that's creepy. And it happened every morning at the same time, and the shutter would just crack up against the house. Wild.
Yeah, and this is at Bearsville?
So weird smells, too. Like there was one room where it just smelled really bad.
And it looked like fog was on the floor sometimes at night when you're in your room. That happened to me.
Yeah,
it was fucking
totally
crazy.
Georgia and I and my son, we got up there before the band did, and no one was there to like greet us, so all the lights were out, so we didn't know where the light switches were. So I stayed in the car. My wife's super brave. So she went in there and she had a flashlight and she was looking around and it was scary, like super dark. And you could see like shadowy like figures and stuff. So, I mean, that house had to be like almost 200 years old.
Yeah.
A lot of history probably.
Is, Is the barn connected? Like, is it
separate?
Okay.
It's separate.
So is this is the same place? I think John Petrucci from Dream Theater was telling us about this place, because this is where they did the score for The Revenant.
Oh, wow.
Because the bears go by, and I guess
there's bears up there all the time. Bears.
Tons of deer. So, yeah, too.
Yeah. But I don't know if he mentioned, because Dream Theater went up, they wanted to do their record there because it's secluded and they're going to be able to like really focus. But I don't think he said it. I'm wondering if it's the same place, because I don't think he mentioned it as being haunted, but I think like it's a really famous studio, right? Like Anthrax and Bad Brains.
It was a big deal studio. And I don't know if everybody felt what we felt, but I don't know if we went there expecting it. You know how sometimes if you go there and you open yourself up to that kind of stuff, it allows it to happen, right?
Right, maybe. Like if you make light of it.
Yeah, and if you, you know, if you're totally against that and you don't believe in it, maybe it doesn't happen for you. So, right. And I'm not saying that we were going there and like, you know, just this shit was happening because of that. I don't know. Maybe not.
But, it was a friendly spirit.
I don't think it was. The girl, the old lady that came up one day said it was a little girl that had passed away. There was a well right outside the house that was closed off and they boarded it up. And they said that a little girl had fell in there years and years ago.
So maybe that's the footsteps.
Yeah.
But
and that was right out by the back door where I opened the door up to.
Really?
So that's what was creepy.
Oh yeah, there was a well there.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I just put a bid in on a house. I didn't get the house, but it was this guy got the fuck out of Dodge.
Yeah.
And there was a storm. It was this like weird storm in my area out of nowhere, and it ripped up like all these parks, ripped up all these trees. It was a real deal tornado, which never happens by us. And I had to go to the town hall to pull all the records and stuff because he said that there was a language barrier when he was filling out all the stuff, but there was disclosures. I never saw this before because I'm not into real estate. I've only ever bought one house and I really didn't look at it. I just sort of signed everything and was on my way. But at this time I was really looking at all the fine print, and there was this like disclosure part at the bottom that said, had any events, happen, crimes, deaths, other things in the house that you want to disclose. And the writing was illegible. And I was like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And the representative of the seller said, you know, we're having a little bit of a language barrier. This guy's like a genius. He's like a neurosurgeon. And he as soon as the tornado happened, a tree came through the middle of the house. Wow. And he's like, that's it, I'm out. I'm going to move to Florida where the weather's warmer. And I'm like, there's hurricanes in Florida. The whole thing sounded a little fishy, right? So I had said, was, you know, there a death on the property? And she was like, no. And I'm thinking, doesn't everybody ask this? Like when they buy a house, like, isn't that something you want to know? Or do you not, would you not care if somebody?
I don't know. I don't know if I would ask. I would think that they would have to tell you, right? But I don't think I would ask that unless it was a creepy old house.
Like, you know, if we were going to buy a house in Pittsburgh, and we were in Austin, Texas at the time, so we had the real estate agent go into the house and take some pictures. And the first picture they took was like as they walked in the front door, the staircase. And then my wife noticed something at the top of the stairs and put it into Photoshop and blew it up. And there was like an 8-foot tall shadow figure with an old time lantern making a scowling face, all like super scary. Yeah. And then, so we asked the real estate agent, was someone else with you? And they were real nervous, like, no, why do you ask? It's just like, well, there's like someone at the top of the stairs. And then we started mentioning ghosts, and there's guys like, well, I don't know.
Dude, maybe we need to get our own fucking ghost show is what we need to do.
This could be I know the album's already out, right? Or just came out, right, on the 13th.
Yeah.
But this could have been such a great vehicle to promote the album.
Yeah.
Because people love this paranormal shit.
Oh, yeah.
I get sucked into it all the time. Like, I watch that one guy, I'm like, here we go again. I know that.
You mean
I'm
the
not
guy that tries to like fight the ghost. Like, yeah. Come on, let's do this.
It's yes. Unreal, though.
Yeah.
Come on, show yourself.
Yeah.
That, and I always get like 30 minutes in and I'm like, there's no money shot to me.
Yeah.
Like, I never feel fulfilled. Like, there's no completion. It's like, God, why did I waste this? But I keep doing it over and over, hoping that one day we're going to get the, you know,
I always
same
wanted
thing
to
meet with Bigfoot, bro.
Same thing. I always wanted to see a ghost. and like growing up. And then I was at my wife's parents' house. It was the first house that was built in the neighborhood. And I was talking to Jeremy, our bass player from Cold, on the phone. And I turn around and there's a full shadow figure, like perfect against a white wall. And as soon as it saw that I saw it, it flew up the stairs like super fast, like, and in that same house, we've like walked up the stairs before. And at the top of the stairs, there's like closet doors that are painted shut. So to open them, it's like super hard. We get to the top of the stairs and it just goes, just opens like super.
Dude.
And then like a couple weeks after all this stuff, this activity was happening, a death certificate shows up to the house. A 30-year-old death certificate just shows up randomly.
In the mail.
In the mail. And you have to like order those. It's just so weird that it just shows up at the house.
And you're sure you weren't being like punked or it wasn't a prank or.
She woke up to like all white noise and it was the TV. Turn the TV off and there's still more white noise. All the faucets in the house were cranked all the way up. So it's definitely a spirit there. I mean, I totally saw a full bodied ghost and then it flew up the stairs. So I believe because I've seen it.
But when it comes to like, like he was saying, Bigfoot, which I'm still hopeful for. What do you think about that? Because there's evidence, right, of a large primate. I forget the scientific name for it. It was like Giganta something.
All right.
That existed in some places, but yeah, in every culture, right? There's the Yeti. There's the all the Native Americans have different stories of bipedal hominid type of figures.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you think about like how massive the rainforest is, or like how massive, even like when, like we did this drive once from like Spokane to Seattle or Montana from Seattle, and I was up in the front lounge. Like, you ever sit up with the bus driver and like 6 hours goes by, 5 hours goes by, and you're like, if you were on foot, there's places where animals could hide.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to go into the Appalachians or Appalachian Mountains or right now, it's hard to find an animal. Like, it's hard to find even, like, a regular animal.
Many times you go out, and how many times are you going to see a bear when you go out in the wilderness? You know what I mean? Even though it's a bear-heavy area, you don't see bears all the time, you know? So who knows, right?
Right, and bears can, there's situations of bears having some sort of parasite where they, or some sort of injury or something, like they injure their front paw where they have to walk upright. So I get that there could be some mistaken identity, but I do think there are still places in the world that there's, they're still finding all sorts of species in the ocean.
Did you see that one show where they show the Bigfoot like running across like this mountainous terrain? And then they got a professional runner to like, keep up with it. And it was like almost impossible.
No way.
The dude could run that fast.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in contact with any sort of primate?
No.
Because when you do, I've only once at one of these, when you go to certain places or towns, like in Australia, you can go with the kangaroos and the wombat, whatever. So there was this primate show, and this was a small, I want to say it was a chimpanzee, and this thing was small, and the strength of this fucking thing was like
they're dangerous. Like, they can rip your face off.
Oh my god, this thing had like, I was joking around that it had like the strength of Kirk from Crowbar, because he's like short and wide and has like that small center of gravity, and he'll grab you with that old man strength, and you don't ever want to feel that. Yeah. He's got those hands that are like four fucking Boca veggie sausages just fucking ripping into you with like metal on them. Well, this chimp, it was like that. And I thought, and then when he was swinging, when he would do his own thing, you really see the power of it. So imagine a 6 foot, eight.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
it
could leap however, I don't know, per stride, it could leap so many feet. So I mean, it would easily be hard to find and probably silent, right? Because when they swing, it's so they move so stealth. Is that the word? Stealthily.
Yeah. Is that legit? They'd find it already.
No.
You know, with all the technology and everything, it just seems
you never saw exist.
Well, think about deer.
Maybe they're hiding underground.
You need to watch that movie.
I went to, the Grand Canyon, and there's a certain point where it's like shut off for a little while. I think maybe it was because it was for a fire had happened or something. And people were like, during that time, I guess one of the workers were like, during that time, there was a ton of deer. As soon as it was open to the public, the deer were gone. Like they know.
Yeah. Right.
They just know to get the fuck out of Dodge.
Yeah, and maybe Bigfoot's got super special sensories. Right. It's like, yeah, I'm out. I'm getting the fuck out of here, dude.
Right. Like that sense, like when you see a gazelle, when they go, they know. The lion is not within proximity, yeah. Right? Like the lion rarely catches the full, virile, young, strong, right? They got to go after the little one one, the gimpy one. Sorry, I just did a gimp.
Sam, how come all our interviews take a weird turn? They're like ghost, I don't know. Bigfoot.
I was going to ask is...
Yeah, sorry. Here,
Bigfoot, is that plural? More than one?
We'll try this again.
There has to be more than one. So.
Cold is here. The new album, The Things We Can't Stop, comes out on September 13th.
All right, back to Bigfoot. Nice.
Everybody, it's Jamie jumping in here with a quick interruption to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com, and we want to pump up these cattle decapitation pre-orders that they're running over at IndieMerchStore.com. And if you have a question or a comment for Travis from Cattle Decapitation, hit the hotline, 201-677-8032. That's 201-677-8032. After the podcast today, head on over, check out all the restocks, and for sure, check out that Cattle Decapitation pre-order, because that record is hard. You can preview one of the songs on Apple Music and Spotify right now, but check it out. Look at this. If you're watching on YouTube, look at all these killer restocks, Carn FX, so many great bands, Thy Art Is Murder. There's the Cattle Decap bundle right there. All right, support Indie Merch Store because they support us here at the Josta Show. Use the coupon code 15, J-A-S-T-A, at IndieMerchStore.com. Now back to the show. Anyway, I think we did a show together. I think Hatebreed and Cold.
Yeah, I think we played back in the day, man.
It was with Kitty.
Yes.
It was for WCCC.
Yeah.
I thought we played a Tattoo the Earth. Or no, was it Warped Tour? No, it was Tattoo the Earth.
I think it was Tattoo the Earth.
Tattoo the Earth. I remember Kitty playing, though, too. So maybe I think we did a thing also.
And I want to say we did a radio show for WCCC. Shout out to Stephen Wayne, Mike Caroli. Well, they're still doing their thing. I'm sure you guys will probably go there they're at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, and they present a lot of shows. Or if you... maybe they presented the show at Stafford Springs. Did you see? But... what is it like promoting a new album with like the demise of all these rock stations that were playing, songs in the past?
I haven't thought about that.
Because really you've seen a lot of stations just go kaput.
Yeah. I don't know. We both have friends that have been, program directors and DJs throughout my whole career. And you hear everybody talking about how everything's declined. And, it's kind of brutal, man. I hate the commercialism of it all. I really do. They're going to learn sooner or later, right? And figure it out, just like everything else. So it's just a weird time for that.
Yeah, because the automation took over. Yeah. I remember when they all started becoming automated, and then those cool personalities that were in every market that would make you want to tune in and sort of hear their take on daily events or current events, and then you'd hear new songs, or you would hear... artists come in to promote their work.
Yeah.
And one thing I think that Cold really had going for you guys in that time was that, the songs like Just Got Wicked, had to have been a top 10 active rock hit.
Yeah, I think it was.
And other tracks where, that was a big deal. Like you could tour a record for 2-3 years. You could do the Halloween show, the Christmas show, the Earth Day birthday and all this stuff.
We did it all.
Right. And then that is a memory that people will have forever. And then when you come back now, like as you're doing, even though you don't have the same mediums to get the music out there, you still have that fan base that liked those records and wants to come see you live again and are happy to have you back. But how do you reach them?
I mean, I guess it's all social media right now, right? So it's changed. You don't really need all those other things. But my problem is I've been a recluse for the last 5 years making a record, and then coming back out and having to share your lives all the time. And I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm really not that person. So I need to get acclimated to doing stuff like that.
I bet.
You know? And an entire band does, really. It's a whole new world.
Yeah, it's been eight years.
8 years? Mm-hmm. So when was the first jam that you guys all got in a room?
It really, dude, I mean.
We did pre-production like 3 days. And within those 3 days, I had four teeth.
Yeah, for this tour, Sam came in. We called him 3 days before
the
tour.
No way. Yeah. So you had the fucking jowls of death?
There was numerous things.
The dentist was like going, okay, when you get one tooth pulled, you'd like take a break all day. You've had like four teeth taken out, so.
Yeah, and he's playing drums.
I was like, no, I have to rehearse, you know?
Yeah. They're like, what happened? I got four teeth pulled. I got a fucking ghost on my back fucking attacking me. I got this guy's
crazy.
This guy's hitting the shutter five times every hour.
You know, it's weird. I did wake up with a huge bruise on my neck like the day after the Stafford Theater thing.
Yeah. I woke up with bizarre. I had to put my dog down on. I don't want to get emotional right now. So I'm going to try to get through a quick story. But I had to put my dog down on Thursday.
Oh, God.
Oh, sorry.
It was fucking horrible, right? And then I got home and I heard something upstairs in the upstairs room, and she wouldn't go in this room a lot, but there's a car on the shelf, not a matchbox car, but a little bit bigger. And jokingly, I went in there and I was like, oh great, you know, like now we're gonna have a ghost in here. And I moved the car and I put a thing in front of it, like a little edge of a frame, and I said, if I come back and this fucking car is moved, I'll know that this room is haunted. And so we discussed, you know, everything over the weekend. We tried to like not talk about her not being there anymore, but going in, it was so weird. Like every day the other dogs were depressed. They definitely knew, like they would go and lay like where she would normally lay, and they didn't want to go for a walk, and they were like lethargic, and it was really strange. And then my girlfriend goes, did you move that car on the shelf? And I was like, yeah, I moved it because it was like kind of going to roll off. And it, you know, I said, why? And she's like, come here and look at this. So I go in there and it's off the shelf, like half off.
Wow.
Hanging off and the hanging. Front. Yes. And I was like, this is too fucking weird. And I don't think have you had to put a pet down ever?
Yeah, I
did. Yeah,
did they do the first shot, which makes them kind of go to sleep, and then they do the second shot?
I don't remember. I just remember the shot.
Yeah. So my dog had advanced heart disease. We tried everything. I mean, we lengthened her life like 2 years longer than she was supposed to be alive. But when they did the second shot, she went so quick. It was like the heart just stopped. Yeah. And so then I started thinking about like, all right, if there is a, do you believe in an afterlife at all? Like, do you believe in reincarnation?
I believe it's an energy thing with people, you know? That's kind of what I believe, that we're all just energy, and maybe, I'm not really religious, but I do believe that there's something, you know? I do feel when friends have died or people have passed or family, things have happened, there's, what do you call it? You know, things that happen that you can't explain afterwards. You hear a sound or something, your little thing moves, your toy on your thing. You know, it's crazy. And what is that about? Or is that just us wanting to find that?
I don't know. You know what I mean? Saw a full shadowed person.
That incredible.
We just ran up
so
the
we
stairs
just went from you us listening to an actual voice on things.
Exactly.
Yeah. But see, this
so there is something.
I believe something. That we decide what we want to do. I think that we're forever spirits, and we can hang out if we want, haunting people, or we can just love and light or darkness. Just
could I say the funny thing? It was a sad story you just told about your dog, for real. But I liked that when you walked up to your room. And you were like, great, now we're going to have a fucking ghost in here.
Yeah.
shit's hilarious.
That's good.
I thought, okay, it would be fine if, I thought it would be cool if there was, you know, everybody loves their dogs. They're like family, you know, you think, all right, if their spirit is with us. Like towards the end, we couldn't even walk her. I'm out there with like a stroller, with a dog in the stroller. Like if my fans saw that, like hardcore rep, like out the window.
Yeah, right.
People are driving by like, what the fuck? But when I got home, just knowing in the little places that she was and the little funny things she'd do, because she was the best dog, really, like they all have personalities. Like, and I do believe that they're kind souls. And so I thought, all right, if she's going to be around, it'll just be like a mischievous spirit doing things like that. Because whenever I would go to like fuck with my girlfriend or like hug my girlfriend or like give my girlfriend a noogie or whatever, like we have a kind of break each other's chops relationship back and forth. This dog would come and be like, ah, like, but then it would be fine. But she would kind of like fuck with me, you know? So I thought, wow, mate, that, and that's her room. So I thought maybe that's a little spirit in there, like fucking with her. Yeah. But I don't, I know every culture has the whole reincarnation thing, but I don't want that. I don't want to come back as a fucking caterpillar or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah,
I just
don't know about the reincarnation. That's why I'm going with the energy thing, man. We just go and maybe exist in other ways.
Didn't we one time
or
have
throughout
a conversation?
Your memories of your family?
I feel like we were on the porch one time, and I think that can we come back as an animal or do we come back as humans? Like, can we switch it over? I think that, I don't know. I don't think that we can come back as a caterpillar.
I don't think we're coming back, period.
Okay, so if we're not coming back, that's okay, because I don't remember before I was born, yeah. And that was
right,
okay.
Right.
It was pretty okay, right? Yeah. But they said that to me, like when, because we're all like bawling our eyes out, and the dog, you know, the dog is, then they got to take it. And I'm like, they said, oh, do you want the blanket? And they said, you know, you can donate the blanket, you know, and of course they relieve themselves when they pass on. So I said, well, you're going to need to wash it. Like I tried to like lighten the mood a little bit, and the lady was not like, she kind of gave me a smirk, but they said she's in a better place now. Like, you know, they have to give you that. I don't think they have a script, but they all probably have something that they say, because they have to do it every day, all day, every day with people's family members. And they got to,
yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, it's like legal euthanasia. But you do start thinking like, okay, if I'm at that point, advanced heart disease, cancer, whatever, how do you want to do it? Like, do you want to go fearlessly into the unknown, or do you want to be on morphine? Do you want to be
taxidermied,
cremated, taxiderming a human?
We got a funny story about a guitarist. You want to tell him that, Nick?
Oh, well, he wants to
and
be
this
taxidermied.
Is a serious thing.
Yeah,
and he's already talked to people. Go ahead.
Yeah, we have a friend who is a mortician, so he said that, you know, he wants to be taxidermied, basically like standing up, leaning on the casket. You know, like standing up.
pull up extreme embalming. This is something that they're already doing. I don't know if this was a hoax or whatever. We should probably look it up on Snopes. There was like a gangbanger dude who was like, I want to be like in a throne embalmed.
I think I saw
that.
Did
you
that.
See
it? Oh,
I saw the
was it like
picture
a glass thing he was in?
Let's is see if Brian him? Can pull it up. Yes! Look at this extreme embalming.
He's like on a bike.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that picture right there.
Dude, this is what Johnny's been watching.
This must be
exactly
what he
wants.
And this is just to show the body, right? Like the body's not going to stay like this. This is just for the wake.
I think Johnny wants like
just a
the
room.
Body to come back and like he's
keep a room.
Hopefully he'll be, you know, a century from now he'll be like the new the Indian that stands out in front of the
cigar store Indian.
But it'd be
like
Johnny,
the one that comes to
Johnny,
life in
Johnny
that movie
Creep Show.
Creep Show.
Yeah, so maybe he'll be like, they'll be like, oh well, that's, yeah, people started doing that back in the day, and now we just have a bunch of dead taxidermied bodies standing outside cigar stores.
Well, at least it would have a purpose.
That's his hope, I think.
Because don't, like, just going into the ground, they're gonna run out of space, no? Like
they have to, right?
And it can't be good. It can't be good for the environment.
No.
There, I saw this thing, pull this thing up where you get made into a tree where it's like a pod. And I don't know if it's some sort of fungi or some sort of living bioorganism that sort of encases your body. I think it's, see if you can pull up a photo of it. It basically, you get planted in the ground. It eats your flesh and your organs. Here it is. Look at this.
Yeah.
The living urn. This I could get down with.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, it's
like
way
this
cheaper
already,
than a casket.
Like the red tree.
And so you would fertilize life. And so say if it's, you know, say if the afterlife is just some sort of all being, all knowing, like being connected with the universe. Like, have you ever done like the isolation tank or any sort of like heavy edibles or
yeah.
I've done
okay, yeah, like There was one point in San Francisco, I ate a bunch of popcorn I thought was regular popcorn. It's not regular popcorn. And I was in my bunk, and I swear I folded space and time down into like a box. And then I got into the box, and everything was okay inside this little box. It was completely black. There's some quote, it's like, you're not, I don't know who said it, maybe Rumi or some philosopher is like, you're not a drop of water in the ocean. You're the ocean in a drop of water. And that's what I visualized in this experience with edible marijuana. And everything was fine. It was, I didn't have a body. I wasn't alive. I was having some sort of interplanetary existence. I don't know what, a different dimension.
In your bunk.
In my bunk. Yeah. And then when I came to, I was like, whose fucking popcorn was that? What the fuck? Because no, someone came to me and was like, I really hope you didn't eat all that popcorn. And I did. But back to the extreme embalming. If you can pull up, there's, and we were just, I don't know how much we talked about this with Kenny from Typo Negative, but I was at Peter Steele's funeral and I remember looking at him in the casket and the embalming, it just does something. I can't.
It's
just,
wild, huh?
I do not want to ever be in a casket. Like, I want everyone to just celebrate and have the best photos of me blown up. Boom, boom.
Yeah,
boom.
I don't want anyone to see me. For sure. I don't, there's no way I could, I don't want people walking over my
coming over and touching your body.
No.
And I don't trust a fucking makeup artist in a crematory to work on my shit, period.
Me neither.
You know?
Maybe a wax figure. Like? That they mix in your ashes with a wax and then make a wax figure of you.
Oh, cool. That's a new one. Pull up. There was just a story. I want to say there was just a story in the Post, Brian. See if you could pull it up. It says they've studied like brains after death, and there's been brain activity for up to 4 years.
Holy shit. What?
This is a new study. I don't know if Brian can find this, and I don't know how reputable whatever this writer or this research team was for this newspaper. I think it was the Post. But I was reading through it, and I thought, okay, that might be a case to not get cremated, just if there is some sort of...
Yeah, right.
But then you're stuck in the casket, for 4 years, like really Metallica One video.
But what if it's like the isolation tank or like...
What if you're in that box in your bunk and everything's kind of okay while you're in that
For 4 years, place. Though.
Yes. And
4 years in the box. Years.
Well, okay,
but
say...
He liked the place. He liked the box.
You know the theories about purgatory? What if that 4 years is like your purgatory where your spirit then repays karmic debt or visits people or does things you never did in your physical body, and then you go on to some other plane of existence.
So are people who get cremated, are they just fucked?
Yeah.
I hope they're not just fucked. Maybe they're just, their essence is within the earth, and then they are. Did you find that article, Brian? I thought it was New York Post, but I can't hear you. My headphones aren't on. Maybe just tell me what he's saying, if you can hear him.
I only found something that says up to 10 minutes.
Up to 10 minutes? That's it.
That's still pretty good, dude.
Maybe it seems like
that's still good.
You still got 10 minutes in your brain power going. 4 years is way.
Well, the embalming started with the Egyptians, right? And they would be buried with their pets, with their jewels, with their riches.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
They had to have been on to something. Mm-hmm. I mean... The way that they had all this technology to build, they had plumbing, they had insane masonry, or what do you call that, construction architecture.
They may have had satellites and all kinds of different stuff.
Right. Have you heard about the Denisovans yet? Mm. Oh, dude, have you heard about this? Okay, I love anything Neanderthal related. Mm. I have a saying on this show, let a caveman live. Because some days I just like, I'm like, fuck the house, fuck the roof, the paint, all this shit. Just let me be a caveman. I need a warm spot, a fur blanket, a fucking, sorry to the vegans out here, a meal.
A club.
A warm body. Yes, a club.
You never know.
That's it. And then just, whatever. So I've been watching all the Neanderthal. Did you know it was Neanderthal? Some people say tall. Some people say thaw.
I like that.
I watched everything. I mean, I've been hours upon hours. So then I stumbled on this one, the Denisovan. See if you can pull this up. It's, they haven't found a skull yet, or they found a jaw, but not a skull. It has different DNA. People in Southeast Asia, Malaysia, Indonesia have both Neanderthal and Denisovan. They found it. The reason why it's called Denisovan is because it was found in the cave of Denisova in southern Tibet, right? Is that the... So there's another species of human that they are still... Look at this. This is insane. The analysis indicated that Denisova hominid diverged from a common ancestor well before Neanderthals and modern humans did. So if your ancestors, what I want to know is who saw the Neanderthal woman was like, fuck it, I'm going to hit it. I mean, we got to keep the fucking genes going, right? Like when you see the skull, but we don't know what the, what? Sorry.
Well, would they, no, I mean, what,
if you saw a Neanderthal dude now and it was the end of the world, would you be like, hey, no, fuck it, I got to have.
I don't sure they think had I would. I'd there, be bro. Like, well, you know,
they had beer.
What about giants? Giant skulls. And stuff like that. Do you believe in giants?
The giant skulls, is that real though?
I don't know.
It's like Bigfoot. I want it to be.
I want it to be.
It mm-hmm. would be awesome.
You've been to Holland, right?
We have.
Some of those motherfuckers are like, you don't sell one 2X the whole tour. You get to Holland, it's like everybody needs a 2X. They're fucking like 6'8".
Yeah, well, Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes, like how am I the same?
Yeah, I stood next to that guy at the Rainbow Room one time, shook his hand, and his hand encased half my arm.
Amazing.
Like it was scary.
He's amazing.
Yeah. It's like a 28 shoe or something. Right?
Yeah,
is he?
The biggest,
it's crazy. Like this big.
It was the biggest thing I've ever seen.
He's great. I love that guy. He's hilarious. I just saw a commercial with him. He's like selling auto insurance. Then I saw another commercial. He's selling lotion. Then I saw another commercial. He's selling like a knee brace. I'm like, this guy's got more sponsors.
Yeah.
He won at life. I think Shaquille won.
He did.
But this Denisovan thing, it really got me thinking like, okay, what if, because I don't want to do the 23andMe. I don't want anybody having my DNA. Mm-mm. But have you done it? Nobody's done it.
No, I haven't done it.
I've thought about it.
Do you have your parents done it?
No, no one's done it, but I've talked about it.
What's your background?
Part Indian, which I don't know tribe or any of that. German and what else am I? I'm like a mutt. German.
Now see, Indian. People that think they know, they get the results back.
Yeah, it's completely wrong.
And they're like, oh, you have East African, you have Southeast Asian, you have Turkish or whatever. Like, I forget how they break it down, but I'm worried that like they're creating a dad. Like I'll go deep in the conspiracy stuff.
Well, there's been a lot of people now that have been caught doing like murders because of their ancestors.
No way.
Because of like, say like a cousin. I think out in California, there was like a serial killer that was caught recently. I think that because of the 23andMe, they found them in the database
and they put
it together.
Nice. Don't murder people. Don't kill people.
I'm worried that you'll get like framed or something.
Or
like
what if the 23andMe is a bunch of bullshit and they're just having these tests come in and going, I don't know, just mark it down.
Yeah.
It's so they there can kill
that's
us all
Who's
gonna and know. Start a new race is what you they're going to do.
That's true.
that could be a thing too.
They're going to clone us all.
So that's a whole nother conspiracy we could get into. We could create.
Right yeah, it here. Could be bullshit. Like we don't know.
All
like
bullshit. Could they're be. Just collecting
you're just
checks.
Throwing your money.
They said though, what if it's the clone? To clone us all. If they get rid of us, they can clone everyone again.
Oh, now we're going deep.
Right, because there's less and less worker bees.
Yes.
Right?
They
like
need
there's
some new
less
ones.
Loyal cogs in the machine.
Yeah.
People are disloyal. The cogs are disloyal, right? So they're like, we better get some worker bees that we can, you know, make these phones cheaper than how we're making them, make these fucking, dig up these fossil fuels and make these guns or whatever, tanks or whatever, right?
Yeah. Taking that DNA to Mars.
Hey, Jamie, we're jumping in with another quick interruption to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by The Reserve. They got all the ancient superfoods and supplements that you need to clear your head, to fight stress, to balance hormones, and increase focus. I love this stuff. I got a whole Tupperware. They sent me so much good stuff. I sent some to Randy. I sent some to my boy Steve Gibb. Shout out to Steve Gibb. People love this stuff because it actually works, and it's natural. and you can easily incorporate it into your routine to become a healthier version of yourself. Check out some of my favorite products at fromthereserve.com/Jossa. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see I use the maca. You know what John Joseph from Cro-Mag says? He says, put a little maca in your caca. You know what I mean? That'll help. That's like nature's blue chew, right? The maca. You put that in your smoothie. You put that in your I mix it in my oatmeal. I mix it in with like berries and bananas and stuff in a smoothie. But I really love the lion's mane and the matcha. It helps me fight stress. It'll balance your hormones if you're a little out of whack and so much more. So when I need a clear head to do reads like this, I head on over to fromthereserve.com/Josta. And when you use the promo code JOSTA30, you're gonna get 30% off. Try the energy and mood mushroom blend. Try the matcha. You could make a great almond milk matcha latte. And I throw a little extra shot of espresso in there. Pow. You're rocking. All right, now back to the show. Oh, you gotta, speaking of Mars, you gotta watch Above Majestic. Have you heard about this? Yeah. Oh, look up the movie. Can we watch the trailer or will we get kicked off YouTube? Can we watch the trailer of Above Majestic? And so they can hear the audio. I watched this movie. This fucking movie blew my mind. It's all about a secret space program. Mickey Rourke narrates it. And I got a soft spot for Mickey Rourke. I just watched, what was it, Angel Heart?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite movies when I was younger.
How good is that movie?
Robert De Niro is dope as the devil in that movie.
Yeah, Lewis, you know, Cypher.
Lewis Cypher.
Makes me want to see
it. It was so badass.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Mickey Rourke narrates this part of it. Can you find it? All right, let's watch the trailer. This will be good for the bus. You guys hit the road.
Our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet I ask you, is not an alien force already among us?
The gravest error a thinking person can make is to believe that one particular version of history is absolute fact. History is recorded by a series of observers, none of whom are impartial.
RF-4 jets spotted and took photographs of a huge carving in the desert over 1,000 feet across.
No tire tracks and no footprints.
The Germans had a settlement on the moon, they had a settlement on Mars, and they were doing this as early as 1939.
Between the age of 16 and 17 years old, I was transported to the moon.
Yeah, this guy's story after 20 is years, fucking insane.
I was age regressed back in time and then returned to civilian life.
Bases on the dark side of the moon.
Extraterrestrial spacecraft have appeared over nuclear missile installations and have completely powered them down.
We put together programs that went all the way out into the galaxy, not just this galaxy.
According to some estimates, we cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
This money is going into underground military bases and secret space programs with technology far beyond what many of us could even realize.
In Antarctica.
Everything we learn is designed to program our minds away from the truth.
This film is the red pill that wakes you up to what's really going on in the world. And at some point, this is all going to break open.
There it is.
The more you get involved, the more compromised you become. They may actually kill you.
Well, it looks like we have a new movie, Nick.
I'm in. I'm all in.
Right?
I'm all in. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's I actually saw a UFO that was the size of a football field fly over my head, like maybe only just three stories up. I was walking the dog, and I'd just been watching a bunch of alien shows. It was just like, if they're going to camouflage themselves in the sky, they just imitate a star pattern, you know, the stars. And then I look over my house, and the stars start moving. I'm just like, what? And then they slowly separate, and it just goes over my head, and it's like a low hum. It was the size of a football field, and I just watched it fly on by. And I looked at the dog. I was like, we just saw a UFO, because I don't know what that was. And I don't think our military has ships as big as a football field. Unless they do, and
they might.
Just no one knows.
Did you see that day if anybody else had reported that?
No, I didn't look into it.
I saw an orb outside my window when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I called my brother over. My brother, I must have been like 7 or 8 years old, because my brother, I remember my brother was being, was really small and could barely look over the windowsill. My brother's 3 years, three and a half years younger than I am. And it freaked me out. And I said to my mother, you know, there was this thing, I don't know, it could be a UFO, whatever. And I go to her, is there such thing as UFOs? She goes, probably. Like, not what I need to hear at like fucking 8 years. And I was terrified. So the next day, I stayed home from school sick, and I turn on one of the shows. It's either like Donahue, or I'm really dating myself now, but Sally Jesse Raphael, remember her?
I grew up with that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So I turned that on, and this guy was on Whitley Strieber, who was the book Communion is about. Do you ever see that movie Communion with Christopher Walken?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I've seen that.
I've seen it.
So I watch it. Now I'm even more fucking terrified, because he's talking about his experience or whatever. And so, and I had a room upstairs. We had, you know, three families living. At one point, we had four families living in one house, but it was a three family, and then we had three. So we were, I had this room upstairs, and I was like, I don't want to be up there anymore. Like, I want to go back to my old room on the second floor. Like, I thought like a floor is different would mean like they could like suck me out like quicker or whatever. And I was terrified. Like, I had problems sleeping. Like, and I would look out into the sky, and I would always think I was seeing things. I'm like, my mind's, you know, playing tricks on me and stuff. So years later, remember the guy Man Cow?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We used to do Man Cow.
You used to go play live on Man Cow, right? Mm-hmm. We went and played live, and I had a weird feeling about it all morning. Yeah. And, you know, you wake up early, and I thought, oh, maybe I'm just
really early,
hungover or whatever. Yeah. And we get into the green room, and this guy walks in to go on the air, and it's fucking Whitley Strieber. I'm like, no. And I'm like freaking out. And then everywhere I would go, I would see UFO things. So I'm on a plane at the end of the tour. We're landing at Bradley in Hartford. And we're in a storm, and everybody's like shook. And you ever be on a plane and you feel, it's one thing to feel the wings go like this, but ever feel a wing go like this? Not a good feeling. Like this. Like, so you think you're going to like spin out of control. So I'm looking out the window, and everybody's like, you know, doing like Hail Marys and stuff. I mean, it's really bumpy. And I see a fucking light like speed up to right next to us, not like right next to us in the sense that it's flying alongside of us, but like far, like just far off in the distance. Mm. And then it does like a check mark shape, like really fast, like boom, and then out.
Wow.
Not like a drone. Like, you know how you see drones move? Mm-hmm. I don't know how far it was. I can't gauge. I mean, we were in a storm, but it was bright enough where it shot out of the sky in this really awkward, not like a helicopter, not like a plane, and an awkward angle. And now that I've been watching all this shit, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's wild, man. I believe in all that.
But you know, none of you besides Sam have seen the...
No, we actually, when we were doing our first record, and I don't know if you were there that night that happened, but... Yeah, and it was, we were in Malibu with Ross Robinson up at Indigo Ranch.
Mm-hmm, in Malibu, yeah.
And there were the three, you know, you see the three triangles, the three dots that create a triangle. That was, and it was kind of in the afternoon. It wasn't really dark outside yet. That happened above the studio. And I remember Ross and us went out, and we were like, what the fuck is going on, right? And it was trippy. And I had an old video camera, and of course it didn't work well enough to get that great. But I mean, exactly kind of what you were talking about, you know, that you could see the balls moving, and then they made a formation, and then just fucking, you know, speeds that you wouldn't even think are possible, you know, just fucking take off. And then the next day it was on the news, because I was like, dude, I don't know, were we on acid that day? maybe not, but it was wild. And then for it to be on the news the next day kind of tripped me out,
too. As an unidentified.
Everybody had seen it. So it was a big deal. Yeah.
It's definitely something. And if the government tells us they exist, there's just opens up so many questions. I mean, that's just, people will feel very uncomfortable just knowing that they exist, you know, for sure.
It kind of sells that story, though. It kind of like proves that story of like, if everything is disinformation, and if it wasn't beings or aircraft from other dimensions or other places in the galaxy, wouldn't they just come out and go, oh yeah, we were testing some, wouldn't they at least come out with, say, something rather than nothing? Because this area, like 51 raid, is going to be any day now, right?
It is close, right?
Did that happen or did it happen?
We kind of been off of, you know, not thinking about that think last couple happen. Of months. So.
Is it happening still?
I guess it's going to happen,
it's
but
gonna
I.
Be good.
D. Snyder has a shout out to Danny, who works his booking agent, and sometimes he goes on the road with him. He went out there. He was out there. They had a day off or something. And he said that, and this is a, he didn't say this to me. He said this to the drummer who said this to me because we were talking about the raid. He said that once, I guess it's 6 miles down this road, but he got like 2 miles down and fighter jets came over and.
Yeah, it won't be good if all those people show up.
And this is just one random car going down there. Yeah. And I don't know, you know, I mean, it sounds like this place is heavily fucking guarded. Like, yeah. But what are they going to do? They can't kill civilians or what? Or can they? At this point.
I put a sign up that says, don't cross this
line. Yeah, I think once they cross the line, they're on their own. Right?
But people are like, well, they can't kill a million of us or whatever, 100,000 of us. Well, they kind of can. And then I bet you there is a. There is
I think that's very PC.
But there is a large group of society that will cheer at this, right? Yeah, that will be like, if it's like some scene out of a movie where they're just like people running towards this place and just fucking boom, people. Will, I mean, yeah. There are, I'm not one of them. I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, that'd be horrible.
But there are people who I know who it's, think that
it's like the movie The Crazies. Remember how they like kind of quarantined them all and poof.
Holy shit. I even like the remake of The Crazies.
I haven't seen the remake.
It's pretty
That's
good.
That's a great.
That is a great movie. Yeah, Halloween is coming up. You got the record out. You're on tour. What's the plan for the rest of the year?
I mean, I think we're touring till the mid-November. And probably just go home for Christmas and then head back out next year for the full year.
Really?
Yeah.
In support of this record, you're just going to hit the road hard.
Yeah, man. It's been a long time. It's been 8 years, so we're kind of happy to be back and doing everything. And I don't know. It's just a good feeling to be back out there playing music.
And how's the reception been so far?
It's been really emotional. It's, you know, our fans, I said this to someone the other day. I don't know if it was us needing to play for them or them needing to hear us play for them, the songs again, and just reconnect with things that had happened in their past. But, the stories they tell us every day about what's going on with them and the shows, every line is being sung of every song with us and just tears. And, you know, it's a good vibe though. It feels like a big family reunion. And, it's really nice, man. It's the best feeling I think I've had out of all our tours throughout Cold's history.
Yeah. Cause it was like you went away at a time where you left meat on the bone.
Yeah.
And then when you came back, you get to see, you not only do you get to soak up all that positive energy, but then you get to see these people who've grown up and listen to your music, people who saw you in the past, people who didn't get a chance to see you.
Yeah. We've had a lot of that too. Yeah. I've had a lot of people going, man, we've been trying to see you guys for 20 years. It's awesome that you're back and we're able to see the show. It's like bucket list kind of shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. And they have something to say to us, man. That music really helped them at a certain time in their life. So thankful for that. And it's nice to hear, you know, what your music has done for people to help them sometimes.
Absolutely.
It makes me positive feel like stuff. We're doing something like this is why we do music, man. That's it.
Yeah.
So.
And hopefully maybe you'll get a Bigfoot sighting in there. Are you going to the Northwest at all? Are you...
All right. So.
In Pennsylvania.
Okay. So when we went. Nick's a friend of his, her husband had a house up in Benton, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And it's Bigfoot country.
Yeah.
Like,
really?
The radio station up there is like, you're
it's
in
called
Bigfoot,
Bigfoot country.
Country.
Bigfoot country. Right?
So as soon as he told me that this cabin was up there and, you know, we could rehearse there for a month before tour, I'm like, all in. Here's my chance to, it's going to happen. I just knew it would. And so, so we go up there. And it was crazy, man. It was up in, you know, up on top of the mountains. And one night, me and Nick were sitting out on the porch, having a cigarette, and we heard the tree knock thing. You know, the
no,
did we not?
We heard it.
Yeah, we heard it. And then it started getting closer to the cabin. So
it could have been a moose, though, right? The moose do it too.
I don't think there was a moose,
or a bear.
But in our minds, it was Bigfoot, right? And so we weren't prepared at all if this was going to happen, right? So. We're like, what do we do, man? And we're like, I downloaded an infrared app on my phone. He got night vision.
I got, yeah.
So we're sitting out there. We turn the lights off to the porch, and we're all scanning the woods, and none of these apps are working that great. And then it got a little spooky because there are big bear up there.
So we're in the dark.
Yeah, we're in the pitch black dark and going, maybe Apple apps aren't the best way to, you know, for safety.
Hunt this thing down.
Yeah, let's not put all our fucking lives on these apps right now. Maybe that's a bear right in front of us. So we cut the lights back on, smoked weed.
I didn't know that Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I didn't either until
Jonestown Mountain.
Kind of a big deal.
Jonestown Mountain was the area of it.
Really?
There's been a lot of Bigfoot sightings.
I mean,
there.
The damn place was big. On the radio, when I heard this is Bigfoot country, I go, hallelujah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I thought, signs. It's crazy.
I thought
there
was
were
mostly
Bigfoot
Pacific
crossing
Northwest.
Signs.
Yeah, no Bigfoot shit. Crossing as soon as you're driving.
Yeah.
See hilarious. What? But and it's they call it Bigfoot, but it's there was never. Were there ever primates in that area? Like, is there any sort of scientific evidence that
I've never seen any monkeys around there? If that's what you mean,
because monkeys were never native to North America, only right. South America.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, in Florida, we got the skunk ape, right? So I don't know if
what is that?
Yeah, it's the other name for Bigfoot.
Okay,
but it's a swamp Bigfoot
with so like a white stripe.
Yeah, the Indians called him a skunk ape.
Really?
I mean, that was a different word, but that's what it translated to.
There's this extinction account on Twitter that I follow that like every day is like some new species of insect or animal that's gone extinct to the point where I've lost count and I've only been following it for a couple months. And it makes me think like, yeah, what if it's so to me feasible that these things were just hunted down and maybe their remains are just so deep in areas where we haven't. Like, what are you going to do? You're not going to drill down the swamp to find remains. How would it be preserved? How would, like, the bones be preserved? Everything gets eaten by the alligators or.
Yeah, I don't
there's
know.
No Bigfoot.
What? You don't think there's Bigfoot?
No.
Maybe.
We'd have
but you think there's.
We just found a skeleton or something.
A real skull or bone or tooth of some sort of North American primate.
Yeah. Unless not just a footprint.
Unless they hide and bury all their bones and things themselves to where no one can ever find them or take them back up to the spaceship, Sam.
Maybe Bigfoot are aliens, and aliens are, you know,
people
big
are like cold as
feet,
fucking crazy
footprints.
Right now.
Well, they say it's going to take like 7 years to get to Mars, right? 7 years there and back, or is it 7 years there, 7 years back?
Ooh, I don't know.
Well,
it's long.
So what if these other galaxies, what if it is... Maybe we don't have the sort of intellect to perceive the time of really how long it is for them to get here. But what if they did get here, gave the Egyptians or whoever this information, and then some sort of cataclysmic event happened that wiped out the evidence of how they were able to do this and how they were able to have some sort of technologies that we. You know, because we don't know. We look at it and we go, how the fuck? I mean, even still now, like, I've been to Mexico and saw some of those pyramids. I'm like, who the fuck built this? How did they drag the rocks? Like, how did...
Yeah, engineers have no idea how they did the pyramids.
There's a book
I read. It's like laser cut, you know, some of that stuff. Looks
yeah.
like
yeah, totally. There's a book I read a long time ago called Gods of Eden.
Oh, yes.
Did you hear me? That, I mean,
Graham,
tripped out.
Is that Graham Hancock?
I don't even remember, but I just like, there's some trippy shit out there that we don't know about. Can't even pretend to know about.
Let me see if I have.
Were there interdimensional beings possibly too, where they don't, you know, they go to the other dimension, so there won't be remains.
Right. And or ships,
thank you, Nick,
right?
Coyle.
Right. Like there might not be Andrew Collins. Egypt's lost legacy in the genocide. I think I just, let me check my Audible and see if I just
downloaded
this.
Yeah, Sam, remember,
this.
You know, the, what, $6 million man, that Bigfoot was.
Oh, he
was a robot, though.
Yeah.
It was a robot.
Oh, he was a robot. Well, there's no bones in a robot, is there?
Maybe. Yeah, I just, oh, no, I got, this is what I got. I got finger, what was that one? I just got fingerprints of the gods.
Oh.
And then there's also magicians of the gods. But yeah, it's fascinating stuff. We should really promote this album though on your tour. So this was great. We covered the paranormal. We covered aliens, Bigfoot, supernatural. beings that have you're like the compass. You're the lightning rod for the.
Seems so.
The spiritually.
I believe so. Maybe that's it.
You think you're just open to it?
I absolutely maybe. Think that if you believe, you're gonna see shit more over. Because I have friends that are like, I don't believe in any of that, and it's how can you not?
I believe in the things we can't stop. Cold's new record.
Yes, just came out September 13th. Out on is it Napalm Records?
Yes.
Shout out to Napalm. But yep. I did the Dee Snider record with them. They did a great job. Great team of people over there. But yeah, it's fascinating stuff. Maybe one day we'll get to the bottom of it. Or maybe our puny half Denisovan, half Neanderthal brains can't fucking... Yeah.
Maybe that stuff you're taking might open you up.
Maybe hey, they're not a sponsor yet, so I don't want to plug them.
If we open up our minds to like the extent that we can, that we only use like the small percentage, maybe that's when we can start doing really rad shit.
Yeah. The mediums, the psychics, I mean, there are people that they believe, like, I know a guy who's a Jesus. He's so into Jesus, and I love him. He really says, he talks to Jesus. This is a great guy. As far as I know, he's a great guy. And I go, yeah, great. I respect that. You know what? You're trying to make the world a better place. You're trying to follow these teachings. But who am I to say that he doesn't have a direct line to Jesus?
Totally.
You don't know?
Yeah.
I turn on the radio, boom, direct line. All of a sudden I'm listening to your new album on through a fucking satellite on Octane or whatever. And I'm like, yes, this is great. I don't know how it happens, but I trust that I'm...
It's happening.
Yeah. Right. It's being beamed into my brain through the fucking speaker in the air. Yeah. So who am I to say that this guy doesn't have a direct line to God or Jesus or whoever?
And the little notes and the tones are giving you some kind of good feeling in your mind or not.
Yeah, and if you're around those people, you're probably, you know, it's open to like, you can pick up on. Because I always wanted to see a ghost as a kid until I met my wife. I saw a ghost because she was connected. Like, you know, so...
Right. I
think there's, if you're around people, then you might be able to see it. Because like, I always wanted to see a ghost.
Yeah, you become a chain.
And all of a sudden I saw it.
Yeah, it's like you become a chain in the energy link. Yeah.
I was just like, man, maybe I'm just not someone that can see ghosts. But until I met her, I was just like, oh shit, ghosts are real.
Fuck. Well, I was always white as a ghost. Like I couldn't fucking go to the beach.
You're a ginger like me.
Yeah, I couldn't go to the beach. I gotta fucking go to the dermatologist every fucking other month. It's a mess. Well... Thank you all for coming in. This
Thanks
has been a fascinating
having.
Chat.
Yeah,
I wish you the best of luck with the record. And where can everybody find you? You all have your own separate social media. Like you're on Twitter, you're on Instagram, you're on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't really have my separate thing, but I just cold.
Cold music.
Cold music. Cold music. On Instagram.
And then we still use Facebook like old people.
Great.
And Twitter. The Twitter.
We don't really do Twitter that much.
We don't really. We were talking about that today. Twitter. I don't know about
that. I've been liking Twitter.
You have seen
people try to blow me up on Twitter. Like I've had some bad press in recent weeks, and I still love it because like, words don't like. When you're in this business, you have to have such thick skin.
Yeah.
And when you get to the point where words don't hurt, I really wish everybody can get to this point. If everybody could achieve this level of, I don't know what it is.
I don't give a fuckingness.
Like, I read some shit this morning where this guy was just like, he was trying so hard, and it was like, meh. I don't block him. I don't mute him. Nothing like, meh. And that's the best.
Embrace him.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's just...
Yeah. These people, some, they just have nothing better to do, honestly, right?
I don't know, but whatever it is, whatever
they
it
need
is...
They need some love.
They really do need hugs.
Well, we'll leave it at that. This has been fun, guys. Best of luck on the tour. Thank you to John Freeman for hooking this up. And everybody go get the things we cannot stop or
the things we can't stop.
The things we can't stop. What are the things we can't stop?
Music. Oh, love, suicide, bullying,
war.
You know, drug addiction. We're never going to be able to stop these things, right?
We can make an effort.
We can try, but it will never alleviate it. Never.
Well, I hope maybe through some sort of alien or Bigfoot encounter... That we can.
We can.
One day.
CERN will stop it.
What is it?
CERN.
CERN.
You know about CERN?
Thanks for saying that out loud. Me and Nick got a thing that if you say the word CERN out loud over the airwaves, Yeah, magical things
magic
will happen.
Things happen.
What is it?
I don't know.
In Switzerland, you don't know of CERN?
No.
You're into all these conspiracies?
Oh, no.
You don't know?
Second.
Wait, all right. Well, hold on.
Just, you need to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah?
So it's the Large Hadron Collider. You know, they're doing things over there, experimenting. And I think that's how they're actually interdimensional
that's
things
gonna
are
tie
happening.
In the whole thing when you start searching on that later.
Yeah.
That's some quantum physics
it
shit.
It is. It's
right?
All quantum. There you go. CERN.
Dude, I'm all about the quantum physics,
Me
the quantum
too.
Realm.
They're right there, that's the portal to other dimensions.
No way. So that's like time travel?
Kind of like
it...
Stargate?
Yeah.
Remember Stargate. The movie Stargate?
That's what it is.
What happened to that guy who was in Stargate? He was great. Was he also MacGyver? He was, right?
Oh, yeah.
I love MacGyver.
MacGyver is, fuck, man, MacGyver was so cool. I was trying to like make fucking bombs out of like a matchstick, a paper clip, and some fucking gum.
Duct tape.
MacGyver. Did you guys ever have the Anarchist Cookbook?
I did.
I've seen it.
I did,
right?
Yeah, when I was a teenager.
You gotta watch that documentary.
Okay.
That guy's disavowed it because it was used in like all
I
sorts
of. I saw that documentary you're talking
about.
Yeah,
it taught you how to make bombs.
That's crazy,
and...
right?
It was crazy because I did a lot. I did some bad. Like, I'm so lucky to be alive and not in jail from things I did from that fucking cookbook. Statute of Limitations is up.
Yep.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Right? We actually, I don't know. So we maybe
depends on what you did.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It was, you know, that stuff with the battery acid where you put the
it's crazy.
With the jar.
It's crazy. I never did any of it. I just thought I was a cool chick that had the book, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even know where it is now.
Yeah, you could get in trouble. Imagine going through TSA with that. Like what would like they
nowadays?
Be,
yeah, no.
They would be like, "Oh, you're getting pulled out." All right, guys, thank you so much for the time. Everybody go get the record, listen to it on streaming, on YouTube. Go see everybody on tour. And are you doing VIPs?
We are. We're doing VIPs every show. And coldarmy.com, you can go there to get all that stuff hooked up if you want to enjoy the show with a VIP.
There you have it, everybody. And I'll be back next week with Travis from Cattle Decapitation. How great is that name?
Awesome.
You know,
awesome.
Like my daughter's like, "Dad, it's..." When I tell people my dad's in Hatebreed, they kind of give me a look. I said, "Well, hey, I could be in Cattle Decapitation. You'd also get a couple looks for that one too." That's hard. Your 3-year-old's like, "My dad's in Cattle Decapitation." All right, we'll be back next week with Travis from Cattle Decapitation and another guest who I can't say who yet. But thank you everybody for listening.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, it's the outro after the outro because we got to pay some bills. We got to keep the lights on here at the studio. And, you know, everything coming into the city for this, the travel, the hotel, the cabs, the Ubers, all that is basically because of you, our subscribers over at gasdigitalnetwork.com/Josta and everybody who donates at Venmo at Jamie Josta and paypal.me/Josta. Any amount gets you a shout out here on the show. Next week's episodes, we got Travis from Cattle Decapitation and Ant Money from E-Town coming in. So if you want to donate at Venmo is at Jamie Josta and then paypal.me/Josta. Anything above $20 gets you a care package from yours truly. But remember, I'm not home until like October 17th. So we're going to have to wait on sending out all the care packages and just put a little note in there. Always include your city and your proper address where you've received mail before. Okay, Buster. Big thank you to the Reserve. Really happy to have them back on board as a sponsor. Could not do this show without their support. And I love their product. So it's great that that we're teaming up again. And I really want everyone to check out fromthereserve.com/Josta after the podcast today. I use the ashwagandha. I use the maca. I use the turmeric. I also really like the lion's mane, especially if anybody's had any hormonal issues or has had any exhaustion or any sort of mental fatigue, social fatigue, brain fog, which I've had. You know, I was seeing a naturopath and they were like, "You got some serious brain fog going on. You need some sleep and you need to try this stuff." And it was funny because they mentioned lion's mane. Sure enough, I started using the one from the Reserve here and it's just great. I love it, and I think you'll like it too. You can mix it in your coffee. You can mix it in your smoothies and whatnot. Check out fromthereserve.com/Josta and use the code JOSTA30 for 30% off. Also, big thank you to Monster. Big thank you to Indie Merch Store. IndieMerchStore.com. Don't forget, we have Travis from Cattle Decapitation coming in. So go pre-order their albums. Come out in November. And the shit's hard. Wait till you hear that first song. It came out really cool. It was really brutal. A lot of great riffs in there. And you'll love the packages that they're doing for the vinyl and all the bundle deals. IndieMerchStore.com. Use the code 15JASEA. It's new. We got a new code, 15JASTA. So make sure you use that code. That helps the podcast and helps out a great company. It's a great partnership, and we appreciate it. Also, thank you to Monster. Did I shout out Monster already? Go to MonsterEnergy.com. I got my 10-calorie raspberry tea right here, which I love. Especially after like a show, like I sweat my balls off. I mean, I sweat more than I've ever sweat at our Rochester show. And the next morning I was dehydrated. I love this rehab. All right. MonsterEnergy.com. And also give them a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Monster Music and at Monster Energy. Who else do I got to give shout outs to and thank? I got to thank my man Baudette and everybody who helps me with martyrstore.net, MARTYRSTORE.net. And that's where you can get this nice Beard of Doom shirt with my boy Kirk Winstein, who I just finished a Josta song with, and I think you're going to love it. Go to my bonus content page, and I'm going to start putting up all the new Josta songs first for Gas Digital Network subscribers. So if you want to subscribe and get all the episodes in the archive, plus a bunch of free songs in the bonus content page, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com and use the code JASTA when you subscribe. Just make sure you use my code, because we got to show Ralph and Lewis and everybody who's moving the needle here, who's repping the fucking network the hardest, because it's me. No offense to everybody else, but I'm repping hard. All right? Check it out. Gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code JASTA. And for the designs that are sold out at merch at Martyr Store, you got to go to podcast merch. So there you go. We don't have any more. Delete that. They sold out. Shout out to Mr. Ulrich there, Papa Ulrich. And then, yeah, the Always on the Grind with the axe that Jake Bannon from Converge did. People were asking me. I haven't printed those in years, so we reprinted them on podcastmerch.com. Shout out to Jake Bannon. I got to get him back on the show. Now that we had Sean on to promote the Wear Your Wounds, and we got an Amigo the Devil coming in, right? I think Jake just did some really cool prints for Amigo the Devil. Shout out to Jake. I got to get him back on the podcast. We traded emails like a while ago. I don't know what happened. I probably flaked. I probably had brain fog because I wasn't taking my fucking lion's mane, and then I flaked out. Sorry, Jake. All right. And if you got any questions for Amigo the Devil, 201-677-8032. Hit the hotline. Amigo the Devil's coming up. We got a lot of great guests coming up. It's going to be a really, really good month. All right, everybody, I'm out. Bye-bye. Love you all. Thank you.